This Sunday Journal podcast is sponsored by Eastern Bank and is a presentation of Cape Cod Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Thank you so much for listening, and for more information, please visit us at capecodbroadcasting.com.
Good morning, this is Sunday Journal. I'm Sarah Colvin. Today I welcome two local filmmakers, Andy Buckley and Matt Griffin, both of Chatham, who are working on an interesting project called Hit and Run History. Good morning, guys. Welcome to Sunday Journal.
Good morning, Sarah. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Thanks for having us.
No problem. Thank you so much for coming in. So, Hit and Run History, how did you get the idea for this?
It was kind of almost reverse engineered. We started off with an idea a year and a half ago of being able to work on a specific story about the Columbia Expedition, which was the first American voyage around the world. Left Boston in 1787. I wrote my novel, The Bostoner, which was published in late 1999, about that as a non – it was a fiction treatment, really, historical novel. But I had gotten to know the subject so well that I wanted to be able to revisit it again. I had a lot of contacts that I'd made as I had been doing this research, and I was thinking, should I be doing this as a nonfiction treatment, or should I be looking at something different? And film came along, especially with the real advances that have been made in technology as far as digital filmmaking is concerned. I bought myself a MacBook Pro. Got the right software, took some classes up at the Apple Store up in Boston, and as of summer of last year, we decided, Matt and I, to see if we could do this as a film. And we were kind of looking like it would be a combination of Ken Burns and Anthony Bourdain. But as it progressed more, it started to seem like it might – this particular story lent itself more to not – 9 hours of multi-night documentary a la the Civil War, but instead as maybe broken up into chunks in serial fashion. It's a voyage around the world, and therefore it requires us to go around the world to follow it. And since we didn't have the money to be able to do that all in one blow, we said, well, let's make just a what we were calling then a pilot. Maybe the first episode. If you think of Ken Burns' The Civil War, it would cover everything up to Fort Sumter, everything up to the beginning. So we would have our story be everything is the prelude to the departure of the ship Columbia and Lady Washington from Boston. So we talk about the captain of the ship, John Kendrick, who was born in Orleans / Harwich, kind of right on the edge there on Pleasant Bay, and one of his first officers, Robert Haswell, who was a loyalist son who was born in Hull. And so we're able to kind of give their backstory. That's all local, so it didn't require us to buy a plane ticket to the other side of the world. It was, you know,
yet.
So it was filmmaking on the cheap. But as we were doing that, we realized if you broke them up into 45-minute segments, and if you watch shows like on the Travel Channel or Discovery, while it's an hour-long show, a lot of that are commercials, and most of those are 45, 42 minutes long. And we said, wait a minute, 13 episodes times 45 is 9 hours. So we're basically talking about the same length of time, but we break it up into bite-sized pieces. And this is a voyage. This is a quest that Americans were on, and so we're basically chasing them. And we realized we could break it up into chapters like that, and people will get very invested in the story and actually, quite by accident, in us.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that it does kind of bring it back to the local because you're starting here. And you're starting here, and like you said, you wanted to journey around the world. So where does Hit and Run take you next?
Matt?
Well, we've been all throughout New England doing our first pilot episode, which is now turned into episode one. Actually, episode two is going to take us to the Cape Verde Islands. When the ship left Boston, yep. They arrived in Cape Verde November 9th.
Into Mayo, one of the islands there, and then they proceeded on to Praia, which is the capital of Cape Verde. And so we've actually started production already on this second episode and gone to, let's see, we were up at the Charlestown Navy Yard.
We're up at Charlestown, and 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, we were in New York City. We had to do some research at the New York Historical Society and the American Museum of Natural History, which are free unlike some museums in Boston.
Free is always a good thing.
Yes, yes. And myself, I had never been to either place before, and of course you see it from all Hollywood movies. You're like, oh, I recognize the statue of Theodore Roosevelt and, you know, the big dinosaurs and whatnot. And after Cape Verde, we will come back and start chopping, editing.
Yeah, we'll be in a studio very much like this, and we'll be doing our voiceovers. We'll be doing our cleanup, and it's actually the person who's handling the post-production, the editing for that, is Emmy Award-winning videographer Julia Statke, who is at the Cape Cod Community Media Center. She won an award in May of this year for her great work beating out such heavy hitters as WGBH.
Wow.
So she's extremely talented, and it just goes to show you that there is a lot of talent on the Cape. And I have always said that, especially in the wintertime, if you're a creative person, you need to be able to have a project to work on the wintertime or develop a drinking problem, because you've got to be able to find some way to pass your time.
Right.
Sometimes both.
Yeah. Exactly. But, you know, I think the project is probably a better way to deal with the Cape Cod winters, which can get a little boring.
Yes.
So far.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, sir.
I was just going to ask to talk about your experiences making episode one. Was there anything that you learned that you found out that you maybe didn't know, or that that you found more fascinating than anything else?
Well, actually, I found out quite a bit. First of all, going to certain places in Cape Cod and in Massachusetts that I'd never been before. Places like Essex. Been to Gloucester before, but never really been to Essex. And just how different it is. You know, you think of Cape Cod and the sandy beaches, and you think of the Berkshires, and then you think of the Boston with the city. But just north of that, just an absolutely gorgeous area, and very, not remote, but
still very rural.
Yes, very rural, and just,
it's the other Cape.
It is.
Cape Ann.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, more, like they say, the whole area is strewn with boulders from the Ice Age, so it's not the sandiness of Cape Cod. More like Maine, more like the coast of Maine as you go up. But even, you know, being able to delve into some of the old book rooms in the, you know, Suffolk County Courthouse
and even here in the libraries on Cape Cod, there are rooms full of history. Even in the Eldridge Library in Chatham, they have the whole genealogical section upstairs. I mean, there's all those little pockets of history that are all around us that you just don't see.
Absolutely. And I mean, yes, Andy and myself are history geeks. But looking at something that is 300 years old, everybody's going to have that part in them. That's just like, wow. Wow, you know, so, and just the handwriting of you know, the secretary or whoever.
Well, and that's the thing, is that one of the great opportunities we've been given is the Massachusetts Historical Society is the repository of the original logbooks of the Columbia Expedition.
Wow.
And they, in fact, it was the people who founded the Mass Historical Society just happened to be some of the same people who were the backers of the Columbia Expedition, because it was a private trade venture. This was not a government sponsored thing a la Lewis and Clark or Captain James Cook. And so because of that, when the Columbia returns from its first voyage, a lot of the artifacts they bring back go right into Massachusetts Historical Society. So we were able to go in there. And Mass Historical was so generous with their time and so patient with us, frankly. And they've got they opened up the original logbooks for us, and we could film that, and portraits of the author, and, of course, most importantly, the Columbia medals. The Columbia medal is the rarest of all American medals, and we're talking about something that looks like a coin. And they have inscriptions on one side of the ship Columbia and the sloop Lady Washington, with the name of John Kendrick on one side, voyage to northwest coast of America. And on the other side, it has the names of the owners, Joseph Burrell, Charles Bullfinch, who designed the State House, among other things, and the original U.S. Capitol building, John Derby of the Derbies of Salem. Crowell Hatch, who was, I believe, a Cape Codder from – actually, he's either Cape Codder from Marshfield along with
it's
Samuel –
It's a Cape Cod name.
Right, Crowell and Hatch. Crowell Hatch. And Samuel Brown, both of who were notorious blackbirders at the time, which were slave traders.
Wow.
And this was just as the slave – as slave trade or slavery was being outlawed in Rhode Island and Massachusetts. So these were people who were seeing the new opportunities are being shut out of particular markets. And, of course, the Browns of Rhode Island have a bad history with that anyway. John Pintard, who was the sole New Yorker and of the venture, and he was just a financier really, but he is the founder of the New York Historical Society. And so we had that connection. That's what brought us down to New York because we wanted to be able to, you know, if there's a historical society that someone founded and he just happens to be a major part of our story, that was too delicious and a lead not to follow up.
Definitely. What are you hoping that the viewers get out of seeing Hit and Run History?
Matt?
I look at it first and foremost, of course, entertainment value, but I also look for the educational value. When a year or so ago when Andy and I were mulling this whole project over, he was like, you know, come here. And we saw this video on YouTube that these 8 or 10-year-olds from Oregon did on this subject.
Really?
And, of course, it was very well done, and I was very impressed. And, of course, I was somewhat distraught that if 8 or 10-year-olds can make a video like this.
Yeah, fourth graders. Yeah. Their history
so
project.
A little jealousy creeping in there.
I mean, Andy and I recognize that somewhat intelligent and capable people, hopefully.
Well, they were putting us to shame.
Yeah. And I just figured, wow, if we could – the whole story, which is too long to talk about right now, but it's very interesting and it could be very educational for anybody, and I figure if you could get something like this into the high schools, it's somewhat hidden history. No one really – I personally didn't really know about this whole excursion, and I mean this – the discoveries on the Northwest Coast that Kendrick and the Columbia Expedition made, all their information was given to Thomas Jefferson, and that's when Thomas Jefferson was like Lewis Clark –
get to it.
Follow up on
it. Hit the bricks. There's water on the other side. So without the information from this expedition, you might not have had
Lewis and Clark.
Which are obviously more
massive,
historically significant.
Right. They're in fact, this story is really the linchpin between Cook and the voyages of James Cook in the 1760s, 1770s, and Lewis and Clark. But the reason it's not known is because as compared to the voyages of James Cook, which were the basis of Star Trek, James Kirk.
Of course.
And Lewis and Clark, which we call, you know, it's the original buddy story. It's a road trip. Americans love that.
Easy rider.
Yeah, exactly.
Without the motorcycle.
With a canoe. Yeah. but in this particular case, this is a story that has great triumph, especially in the middle of it, but it winds down into darkness at the end. And in fact, when I was speaking with Josh Smith, who is one of our historical advisors, he's a professor at the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy, I had mentioned to him, I said, well, there's this guy named John Kendrick, and he goes out there and he stays out in the Pacific and he never comes back, and the owners are wondering what's going on, and it's their reports that he's going native.
He got along with all the Native Americans was the better navigator. So of course, all these
trading,
all his here's this captain who's a dour Cape Codder, and most of the others are not necessarily British military, but
have connections. You know,
they have that background,
and they're looking at this. Who is this? Yeah, and Kendrick fellow,
and getting a lock on the whole trading of sea otter furs and all the rest. The whole reason to be out there, and the owners send one of their clerks out on the next voyage to find out what's going on with Kendrick. And I told Josh Smith this, and he said, "Are you sure you're not meaning Kurtz, meaning referencing Kurtz from Mr. Kurtz from Heart of Darkness?"
Right.
And so I said, "Well, no, this is 100 years before then." And he said, you do realize that Joseph Conrad, who wrote Heart of Darkness, sailed around those waters.
Really?
100 years after. And so they would have told stories. And so we had started to think that maybe this was the inspiration. This is the original Heart of Darkness. And it's, you know, not just American version of it, but this is the same sort of thing. And Kendrick dies a very violent death himself. And so there are some great parallels here. And because of that, again, you know, it's a story that hasn't been told yet. And there's plenty of – and there haven't been too many books written about it. I mean, there's one or two, and that's it. And then my novel as well just has some of the information on
Andy's
it. But
he's
got to
plug his novel.
Yeah. Had to. But it's just the fact that it's hard to get around to telling a particular story to an American audience up to this point because it's not triumphant.
Right.
The third act is not inspiring. However, at this point – it may be ready for it, but as we said, if we tell it in an episodic serial format, I think people are ready for that sort of story and for the way that we tell it, which is entertaining, get down, get your hands dirty, you know, this is what it's like, history is all around us, and this story exists in shards
all
in Wareham, in Chatham, in Cape Verde, the Falkland
Vineyard.
Islands, the Vineyard.
Hawaii,
Vancouver
China.
Island, China, a lot of the places that I've been already. And so it's just taking – we just have to put those together again to make a picture.
So if people want to get a look at the first episode, is that available to view anywhere?
It's currently being broadcast on the Channel 17.
Saturdays, 2 o'clock.
I believe that's the time. And Cape Cod Community Media Center, they've been actually broadcasting – It's from September through October. I'm not sure where it is on the schedule now, but I think they'll be happy to have it again. And again, that's our pilot episode. It's not perfect. It's rough. That's what a pilot's supposed to be.
Of course.
Give people that idea. And we're working on the second one, which we want to be screening starting, say, in March. And we've applied to several cultural councils all over Cape Cod and throughout the state. We received 3 grants just this past year from Chatham, Marshfield and Wareham, and we're applying for more, and just to be able to bring this to people and to be able to experience it, and also to be able to do these live screenings to talk to people, to engage the audience, because it's those public discussions that have allowed us to develop our approach to telling history much better.
All right. And if people want more information on the project, I know you've got a page on Facebook and a blog. Do you want to give that information so people, if they want to know more, can
sure.
head to the internet?
Sure. For basic information and some pictures of us, you can go to hitandrunhistory.com, all one word.
Okay.
And there's actually more information and more interactivity at our fan page on Facebook, which is simply facebook.com/hitandrunhistory.
Okay, great. Well, congratulations, and look forward to seeing the rest of your work, and good luck on your mission.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks
very
for
much.
Having us.
All right. Thank you guys so much for coming in. Andy Buckley and Matt Griffin are filmmakers from Chatham working on a series of documentaries called Hit and Run History. I'm Sarah Colvin. This is Sunday Journal.
This Sunday Journal podcast is sponsored by Eastern Bank and is a presentation of Cape Cod Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Thank you so much for listening, and for more information, please visit us at capecodbroadcasting.com.